Matt Rippey, what was your first encounter with a zombie movie?
Well, my first encounter with a zombie movie would probably have been Night of the Living Dead.
The original.
Yeah, the original. I mean, you did mean like watching one or being in one.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 203, We Love Zombies.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. Good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. I really wish you'd let us in.
My first encounter with zombie movies was Night of the Living Dead, George Romero. Here's how I saw it originally. Originally, we watched it, you remember, Creature Features. Friday and Saturday night, Bob Wilkins, KTVU in Oakland.
He was awesome. This nerdy-looking guy with blonde hair and black-rimmed glasses and a cigar.
And he hosted Creature Features every Friday night. So we would, Friday or Saturday night, and we would watch it, and we watched it at the ranch where we rehearsed sports. Just this house in the country that my parents owned.
Surrounded by darkness and trees and things that go creep in the night.
Creep in the night. And we were watching it on an old black and white TV with an aerial, bad reception on Channel 2 in Oakland. And we were all, five of us, my parents, me and my brother and sister, huddled on the farthest end of the couch together watching this movie. And it has this documentary feel to it, which made it even seem more real. And it's already in black and white. The TV is black and white. And then the movie ends, and then I had to go out and feed the dog, which meant I had to go outside and get the dog dish.
Well, I think you survived because you didn't turn around to the family just before you went outside and say, I'll just be right back.
See?
Yeah.
That's how you survive. Yeah. You never say that.
Right.
How did you first see Night of the Living Dead?
The first time I saw it was on a color TV. I thought, oh, black and white movie is going to be scary. Nah. I was like, this old-fashioned thing. But I think I was young enough. I mean, we're talking in the 70s and probably late 70s. And yeah, that kind of grainy, creepy look and feel of the movie, yeah, it was enough to get me.
And the actors were so bad that they seemed like it was really happening because they played it so straight and so well.
Yeah.
And there was just something creepy about the dead coming back to life. It just seemed so basic and primal, such a great idea.
Yeah, and I think his is the first zombie filmmaker. There was one that I saw on Netflix that was like White Zombies from 1927, about the real zombies of Haiti, or the
voodoo.
Voodoo burials. I'll have to give that a shot. But it seems like, I mean, George Romero started an entire subgenre, really, because it's been going ever since.
Part of the appeal of zombies now is that they are, and this is true of all horror movies, they're metaphorical, right?
Oh, totally.
It's not just the monster. The monsters represent something.
Yeah.
And in this case, the monsters, I mean, the zombies in the late 60s represented the youth, the youth rising up, the hippies, and maybe with the African-American hero, zombies represented, you know, the other, the our hero's a black guy who survives at the end. And then gets shot, spoiler alert, because they think, in air quotes, that he's a zombie. Do they really? Or is this,
right.
It's just an opportunity to shoot black guys, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they're so popular. And I mean, there are so many great hooks for zombies. Like you've got, George Romero followed up with Dawn of the Dead. He did Crazies and then Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead is a great hook for what do the zombies represent?
Right.
Well, they represent the brain-dead consumers.
Mindless consumerism.
Mindless consumerism.
Yeah.
In a shopping mall, there's great scenes in Dawn of the Dead. I personally think I like the remake better.
Snyder's
remake.
I hear good things about the remake.
Yeah.
You know, I just saw, despite my love of zombie movies, I had never seen Dawn of the Dead, the original one. It filmed in just outside of Pittsburgh at the Monroeville Mall.
Right.
I just saw it recently, and I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
Hugely disappointed. I went, it just doesn't hold up. In Shaun of the Dead, the zombies represent the kind of mindless Gen X slackers who are so out of it, they don't even know that a zombie invasion has even happened.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's classic.
I have to say, if somebody puts a gun to my head and says, what's your favorite movie? It's Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Because I like romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. I like zombie movies.
Yeah.
I really liked the movie Notting Hill with Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant. I thought it was a lovely romance. But if you liked Notting Hill, but you thought all it needs is zombies, then Shaun of the Dead is perfect.
Yeah, Simon Pegg, he's a genius.
Yes.
Well, that would make my desert island zombie horror disc for sure, to break up the monotony of the other zombie types. In fact, another funny one is Fido, which is Billy Connolly is a zombie. Well, it takes place in a period where there's been a zombie war, and we won. Normal people, living people, won, but learned how to enslave zombies. Uh-huh. And so you begin the film in kind of this 50s America, all the squeaky clean, leave it to beaver type families, and everyone has a zombie slave.
Oh,
and so
yes.
they've put a whole different template onto the zombie spin, and I love it because it's the first time that they tried to really humanize the zombies, and I think the hook there is that it's a statement on racism of that time period and obviously still today, because every house had their slave, and the kids treated them like their pets, and yet Billy Connolly as Fido, as the lead zombie, he starts to have this strange romantic relationship with the mother in the family, and it's the first time that they bring in a little bit of his past. You realize that they once were human, and so it's almost like humanizing our slaves.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But you're really a student of them. I mean, what made you become a student?
Well, I love all horror films. So, not all, but I'm a huge horror fan. I will watch just about anything that calls itself horror. The subgenre of zombie films is a huge part of that. So just over the years, I've seen, everything from more recently, zombie strippers, which we've both seen.
Which we didn't care for.
Yeah.
I've seen zombie strippers too, and because I know one of the guys who was one of the distributors of the movie. He told me the title, and I went, zombie strippers, that's a great title.
Exactly. In fact, that's probably as far as they got, is just the title.
Yeah.
And they were, we can definitely make that film and sell it, because the content wasn't really there. I mean, it's a good drinking film. where you're not really paying attention, you're just, every time you catch a glimpse of flesh, you or someone eating it, you
I
drink.
Just, yeah, it was just, it seemed a waste of a stripper movie. And it seemed a waste of a zombie movie, where in fact it should enliven, raise the stakes of both of those.
And a waste of Robert Englund, who's better than that.
Yes, exactly right. The original Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger, some other great ones, though, that would stand out for me as just great horror films, great zombie films. Dead Snow is a Norwegian zombie flick, and the hook in Dead Snow is that the zombies represent kind of a dark past resurfacing, because out of the snow literally come Nazi zombies. All the zombies are Nazis that are reanimated, and so it's almost like, I don't know, a purge, a catharsis or something for them to kind of,
You can go around slaughtering Nazis with impunity.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the Nazis would make such great bad guys, because you can slaughter them.
Yeah, and in fact, the best zombie costumes I've ever seen are in Dead Snow, because they've got all that cool gear on and the hats and the trench coats. You would probably love an Irish zombie film called Boy Eats Girl, which is a mashup of those teen angst films. So you've got the typical kind of, I'm in love with you, ooh, I can't tell her, ooh, does she love me, all that stuff. But then suddenly everyone's turning into zombies and eating each other. Well, literally, that is. Yeah.
And the recent movie Zombieland. With Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
It wasn't a zombie movie. It was a coming-of-age movie set against the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. A coming-of-age road zombie movie.
Well, and I've actually written a children's book.
Zombies?
With zombies.
Dude, I want to be in it.
I'm still shopping it around, but I'm working with an illustrator, and it's cute. It's again, it's It's a mashup. It's a children's book set against a zombie apocalypse. Because one of the things that fascinated to me, because in the Hollywood show, which you have not seen, in the second act, we bring up all these audience members on stage to be our extras. And then without warning, without telling them a thing, we say they've been turned into zombies. And without fail, they all go, oh, now we're zombies. And they start, you know, arms outstretched and shambling and brains, right? It's amazing to me how that zombie stuff is in the zeitgeist. It's in our bodies. It's in our cultural energy about what it is to be a zombie. Everybody knows this. Mick Orff read the manuscript of my children's book about zombies, and he read it to his kids. And his kids are not into television. They don't watch a lot of television. They certainly don't watch scary movies. I'm not sure they watched that many Disney movies. But they knew what zombies do. They knew, because it's just a thing that we know. We know on a genetic level.
Yeah. And some people take it seriously. There are major zombie fests in almost every country in the world where, like, hundreds of people get together and roam the streets doing the zombie shamble. I should go to this one of these days.
But here's an FYI. You're all gonna die screaming. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brain.
My name is Matthew Gregory, and I'm the executive producer of ABA Productions in Hong Kong, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? This week we continue our two-week run at the Hong Kong Academy of the Performing Arts in Hong Kong, performing Complete History of America Abridged and the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged. And then next week we head to Singapore to perform the Complete History of America Abridged and Completely Hollywood Abridged at Jubilee Hall. You can also see us here in the U.S. performing Complete World of Sports Abridged at the Blumenthal Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania, and the Eisenman Center in Richardson, Texas. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information.
Not only are you a student of zombie movies, and a fan of zombie movies, you're the only person I know who's actually been in a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Day of the Dead?
Day of the Dead, yeah. A remake of obviously George Romero's third in the trilogy. There's Night, Dawn, and Day. Mm-hmm.
And you are the only actor in there that I didn't recognize.
Yeah.
It's Ving Rhames, Mina Suvari, Nick Cannon.
Yeah, that's right. And Michael Welch, who has gone on to be in every Twilight film.
Right.
Yeah, he's doing really well and such a nice guy. It was good fun. It was a real treat. And I think maybe the reason I was cast was because I told them at the audition how much I loved horror films and zombie films and said, you know what, it's one thing I've never done. I can't tick that box, so I'd really love to do it.
I can think of nothing better, you know, than you know, if you're in show business, you know, and you're making movies, you could be in a zombie movie or a Planet of the Apes movie. These are the pinnacles, you know, to me. Maybe I'm in a subgenre of my own.
Right.
Maybe some people would like to work with Meryl Streep. No, I want to do a zombie movie. A good zombie movie.
But do you want to be a zombie or do you want to be like a victim?
I'd rather be a victim. I'd rather be running.
Yeah.
I'd rather be running.
After watching what these guys had to go through every day to get into makeup, and I have to say that I can't remember the guy's name who did our makeup special effects on Day of the Dead. The whole team was amazing. But these guys spent 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours getting made up.
Yeah,
and if you had to do that, you know, every day for weeks on end, I was glad that. That I die, spoiler alert, I die a pretty horrific, nasty death.
Well, you better. I mean, if you're in a zombie movie, that's one of the things. You have to die in a horror.
Yeah, you want to die in a shower of guts and blood.
Yeah.
And I did spend, that was my last day of shooting. I think I was in makeup for 3 hours. for what amounts to about 3 seconds on screen.
So that wasn't a dummy. That was you made up.
Hey, what are you saying?
That wasn't an idiot. That was actually you.
Exactly.
That was you made up.
That was a bloody idiot. Yeah, that was me made up. It was, and they cared a lot. They had buckets of this of gore, yeah. And I didn't want to know what it was. I was pretty sure that it was not real flesh, which apparently they did use on. I guess I was watching the director's commentary on Day of the Dead, and which is unfortunately. He lost his footing. George Romero's Day of the Dead is pretty boring. But they used real innards.
Yeah.
And so they talk about the final scene where his body's being ripped apart and is pulled in half. Mm-hmm. All those guts had been left in a refrigerator that had the power had gone off or something. And so the stench of rotting flesh, I think... You can see the look in his eye. Yeah. I think it's like, get this shit off me!
Well, the closest I've ever come to any of that is that the episode of the X-Files that I did, I play a sleepy pathologist who has to examine this corpse. And the corpse is not a corpse, it's just a tray of meat because it went through a grinder or something.
Right.
So, but I discover a metallic vertebrate. Vertebrate that comes out. So clearly this is a metal regenerating alien or whatever.
Right.
It was disappointing because I hold it up to my face and I had several friends go, oh, I was so sorry that it didn't leap out and eat your face.
Right, that would have been cool.
But yeah, but it was a tray of meat that was literally kind of a tray of meat that was kind of gross body animal parts, you know, that I was picking through. And it had been, you know, at the beginning of the shoot, it was okay. But then by into the fourth hour under all the lights, that tray got kind of reeky.
But that's what everybody wants. It's like, you know, show me the guts.
Yeah.
You know, give me the gore. Yeah. That's what I want to see.
Well, give me the gore, but give me characters that, I mean, for me, again, this is what makes it a good movie, because I want to follow the characters. I don't just want to see the gore. I don't want to have a movie to drinking movie. Mm. I want characters I can get involved with.
Right.
And in that level, I finally got to see your movie, Day of the Dead, on Netflix Instant. Mm-hmm. It was great. I really enjoyed it. Enjoyed it much more than I enjoyed the original Dawn of the Dead.
Right.
Because I don't know why. The acting was better, certainly. Mm-hmm. The effects were better. Yeah, mm-hmm. the effects were better. And there was that element of that one soldier who got turned into a zombie but retained some semblance of his former self, which I thought was an interesting spin, not unlike Fido that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I just thought it had a bunch of interesting things. And it was a little by the numbers then as you go on, and you had a great death scene.
Well, people love the gore. I don't know how much time we have for anecdotal little stories, but one of the things I loved was... Ving Rhames, there's a great bit where he's crawling to get after Mina and the guys, and his eye is hanging out. It looked really awesome. His eye is hanging, by a thread.
And, are you gonna say that's his real eye?
That's his real eye. Yeah. But it was his idea it kept falling off, so he finally just pulled it off, stuck in his mouth, and ate it, which is just. But that was his idea. One of the exciting things for me about Day of the Dead was working with Steve Miner, who directed Friday the 13th parts 2 and 3, Halloween 2000, HTO I think it was called, and my favorite of his films is Lake Placid, which is funny as all heck. I mean, it's not necessarily a horror film, but it's horrific and funny. The writer for Day of the Dead, Jeffrey Reddick, when he showed up on set, I had to kind of calm myself down, and I don't, generally throw myself at stars' feet or people who impress me, but Jeffrey Reddick is the guy who came up with the story and wrote most of Final Destination, that first one, or even the second one, could be on my Desert Island disc.
Really?
Yeah, for horror films. Just great idea.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an old prude when it comes to some horror movies. Like, inventive ways to die, for human beings to die, is sort of not my thing.
Right.
That's why I guess I like zombie movies, because they're zombies, so who cares?
Right.
But if they're humans, then I'm invested, and suddenly I don't want them to die.
Right. Well, then you definitely should stay away from Final Destination films, because all that is an exercise in how many amazingly sadistic ways can we kill teenagers?
All right. Well, then what do you feel about the torture porn aspect of movies like Saw or Hostel or these kinds of things?
I only rent those if I've run out of everything else to watch, because I'm less interested.
How much of a purist are you on the whole zombie versus rage virus
movies, like 28 Days Later, that kind of thing. Do you care? Or is it all zombie movies to you?
Yeah, I mean...
Are you a stickler?
I'm not a stickler, because there's a big difference. And in fact, George Romero is responsible for much of it. He, after Night of the Living Dead, the next film that he made was The Crazies. It might have been his next film, but he made The Crazies before he carried on with the Dead trilogy. And The Crazies is same concept, a spill, a toxic spill, some government plan leaks and everyone just goes insane and wants to kill everything. But there's a difference, because you can't call The Crazies dead or the undead. They're living people who have been infected and want to kill everyone. I love it all, just show me lots of people getting it and that's great. There's a much better updated version of The Crazies called The Signal, which would make it onto my Desert Island disc. Low budget, you won't recognize anybody in it, but wow, it's wickedly funny and sharp and nasty. Talk about thinking of great ways for people to die.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your undead letters via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, zombie fighter Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. You also heard an excerpt from Jonathan Coulton's classic zombie anthem, Ray Your Brains, which you can purchase on iTunes or at jonathancoulton.com. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to John Lofgren. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Matthew Gregory of ABA Productions, not only for the blurb, but for bringing us back to both Hong Kong and Singapore. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 203/609 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And another reason that I like 28 Days Later is that if you freeze frame for a heartbeat, Cillian Murphy wandering through the deserted streets of London looking at a hoarding that has posters up on it. He's right in front of the Criterion Theater in Piccadilly, and you can see the Reduced Shakespeare Company logo in the background.
That's right. We're famous. If only we could have just been peeking out the front door with the Reduced Dead.
That would have been awesome. Ooh, a Reduced Zombie movie. I like that.
How are you talking?
I like that notion.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.